Does that mean I'm just supposed to preach anything? Amen. 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 You know, I know I don't see this when I look at the Webster's Dictionary definition of freedom, but freedom, by definition, involves sacrifice. Very little or very big, but freedom, by definition, involves sacrifice. Think about it. I mean, when we talk about getting something free, it costs someone something to give it to us free, right? Oh, there are people that will try to argue with me and say, oh no, what if I gave you a rock? It didn't cost anyone anything. Well, it cost you something to pick up the rock and give it to me, if you want to put it in those terms. Everything that is free, by definition, there is a sacrifice involved to someone. Maybe not to the receiver, but to the giver. And I want to remind us of that this morning when it comes to freedom. This word we use, freedom, and we use it on this day and tomorrow, July 4th, about Independence Day and freedom. But I want to remind us that there is a cost to freedom. It's never free to someone, even though it might be free to others. I was reminded when I went back and looked that there was about 20,000 people that died during the Revolutionary War. Since then, as far as in the United States of America, we've lost over 1.3 million people in combat since. Over 1.3 million. Now, I know the city of Detroit in its present state right now, that's probably about two city of Detroits that we've lost in human life since the Revolutionary War. Freedom over the years has come at quite a cost. And some families have experienced that cost directly, while others maybe have experienced it indirectly. But freedom came at a bloody cost for Independence Day. Our freedom that we celebrate today, and we do fireworks, and we have lots to eat, and we enjoy family and friends and neighbors and all that sort of stuff. I don't want us to forget that that freedom came at a cost. And although we celebrate, we also ought to take maybe a somber moment or two and say thank you, everyone who's involved in giving you that freedom. Now that's the freedom we have as a country. And you know where I will go with this sermon, because there's a freedom even greater than the freedom we enjoy in our country, and that's the freedom you and I have, as I said earlier, from the bondage of sin, and that's in Jesus Christ. And we certainly need to thank Him for that. But Peter tells us in the text that was read this morning, and this text starts out with actually a couple verses before what was read this morning about submission to the rulers and the masters. I don't want us to get hung up on this slavery language, because yes, in those days and in the early days of our country, there were things that occurred that would not have been what honored God the best. But in the context of those things that did not honor God, he says even in those dishonorable kinds of things, there's things we could do both as the recipient of the wrong and those who were the doer of the wrong to do the right thing. You know? And even when some of us might look at the lives we live and might find ourselves in situations that are not fair, they're not good, they're not God-honoring, if I am on the receiving side of that dishonor, the receiving side of that unfairness, we're still told in Scripture as Christians, in whatever context we find ourselves in, what should we do? And I think what we can do is live a life that honors God in spite of the dishonor that takes place sometimes in our lives and the unfair things that go. So Peter tells us as Christians, no matter what context we're in, to live as free people, irrespective of what context we live in, irrespective of where we live. He says to live as free people. How can we live as free people when we might feel that we're in bondage? And maybe we kind of are in the way that life is treating us right now. Peter is trying to get to a deeper truth. the deeper truth is freedom from, as I said, the bondage to sin, freedom from Satan's control, freedom from selfish desires, freedom from the penalty of sin. That's what we have freedom from in Jesus Christ. And because we have freedom from that, we should be free to do something. You know, that's the issue sometimes. When we receive something free, it stops there. Really, if we've been the recipient of free, we ought to freely offer to other people too, right? And we miss that half sometimes, don't we? Because God is freely given to us, we ought to freely give to others. We ought to freely bless because we have been blessed. So we should be free to serve God and others, free to live as free people, free to flee from temptation. It doesn't mean free to do anything, but free to live without the penalty, without the dominion of sin. That's a good thing and a wonderful thing, isn't it? You need to know that. And we need to know that in Christ, we are free from that bondage. We are free from that dominion of sin. We don't have to live in that anymore. We can live as people who are free to serve Jesus Christ and free to serve others because He took care of that. He paid for that. See, the cost, the freedom, was paid by Him. Dearly paid. At a cost just like those who tried to give us freedom as a country, Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross at Calvary so we can have free from this. Now that's a greater freedom. Because you see, those who died for us in battle could give us freedom to live our lives in the context we're in. But what they couldn't do is free our souls from sin. To free ourselves from that bondage. They couldn't do that. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And so because of that, there's a caution in this whole idea of freedom that Peter shares with us in Romans. Paul shares with us as well in 6:1. He says that we shouldn't misuse freedom. Actually, in that first verse of chapter 6 of Romans 1, he says, should we keep on sinning? Since, you know, great. In context, it was because God's grace is so wonderful and great, and He's freed me from the bondage of sin, and grace is sufficient and all that sort of thing. Well, maybe what we have to do is just keep on sinning so His grace can be even greater, right? And Paul says, absolutely not. Then we don't really understand freedom. The cost is mocked when we want to continue to live in the context of sin without acknowledging the One who paid for that sin. We're mocking that. And instead, we have to do whatever we can to live in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to Him. So don't misuse the freedom that He's given us. Don't cover up wrong, or you're not free. Instead, you're really a slave. A slave to sin. See, serving God is a source of joy. Indeed, it's perfect freedom when you and I understand that completely. And I believe people can live in perfect freedom even when they are in some context enslaved by the stuff that's going on around them. You can still live in perfect freedom. A lot of people don't get that. I've not been in that context, but I've known people who've been in prison. I've known people who've been in contexts that were horrible, horrible contexts. And that they could experience, even in that, freedom. It's an inner freedom. It's not an outward freedom. There's still jail bar cells there. There's still that person that is treating us the way they are, whatever it is. They're still around. But in my heart, I can be free. In my heart, I can be free. So if I am free and you are free, if we understand this freedom in Jesus Christ, do we have any obligations? I think verses 17 to 19 kind of show us that in this text in Peter. Because he says this, show proper respect to everyone. You want me to have some water so I can keep going? You do this and I might go an extra 10 minutes. That's not good. I just like a small bottle. It's 20 minutes if it's a big bottle. Thank you. Show proper respect, he says, to everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. People in horrible contexts like the slaves still treat your masters with respect and do good even when you're mistreated. That's hard. That's hard. The context for us today might be a little different context, but it's a similar kind of outcome. You might find yourselves in bad situations. They're not fair. They're not good. They're not righteous. But in those contexts, it's up to us to live as people who know that we're free in Christ and live in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Honor those in authority. It's hard to do sometimes when you're in major disagreement with maybe those who are in authority. But as best we can, even under unjust conditions or in pain-filled conditions, do the best we can to honor those in authority. There may be a point when you've got to do something different. That's what happened on Independence Day. When those who were in authority previously were so horrible that something had to be done. They were not in any way, shape, or form wanting to honor God. And so they wanted to be in a context where God could be honored. And sometimes it gets a little bit ugly. But freedom came from that. And freedom can come for you and me. But always be conscious of God. And those who wrong you may also become aware as well. You know, it's like throwing the heaping coals on your head, as Romans says too. You know, God to avenge, it's His to avenge, He says. Not mine, His. But you know, by us constantly doing the right thing, living the right way, honoring God in everything we do with our life, even when those all around us don't want to do it. It's like throwing heaping coals on their head. Sometimes it might change the life around you because of the good that you want to do. Because you know freedom in Christ, and they may not. Sometimes, as I said earlier, it comes at great cost. As I said, free things aren't really free. They cost someone something. And sometimes that cost is huge. Jesus suffered for us by giving His life for us. Not in a normal kind of way. Couldn't He have instead said, "Would you just throw a spear through my heart and be done with it?" You know? Couldn't he have chosen a different method of death? Couldn't he? I mean, Jesus was God's Son. He could have, because God's sovereign. He could have found another way to die for us. But no, He chose to make sure that it would be the ugliest form of death that the Roman government could ever figure out. This was supposed to be the most horrible form of death that someone could possibly experience. This is what they came up with. It was the crucifixion. Why did Jesus suffer that way when He could have done it a little easier? Why couldn't they have... I don't mean to be so gross with kids here, but why couldn't they... Okay, why couldn't they have used another method that wouldn't have caused so much suffering? I think Jesus wanted us to know the price of sin was a very ugly price. And He was willing to pay no matter what the cost was, so that you and I could be free. And you know, there are stories of people throughout the battles in our country and outside for years and years, stories of people who have paid a real ugly price to make sure that other people could be free. None quite like Jesus, because He suffered not only physically, but He suffered the absence of God for a bit. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was a price, very, very serious price He paid for you and me. And I want to remind us of that today, just like I want to remind us of us today of the freedoms that we have here as a country and the price that people paid. It came at a great cost. Devotion should override personal comfort. Our devotion to God should override personal comfort. Just like those in our country who are trying to protect the freedoms of others oftentimes gave up so much of their own comfort so that others could have freedom. They gave up everything of their own, their property and everything, so that others could have comfort. Freedom. So do you feel you're free? Well, if you don't feel that you're free right now, it's perhaps because you're looking at it at the wrong level. I know I'm free in Christ. I know I'm free from the bondage of sin in Jesus Christ. I know that. Had nothing to do with my performance, because if it was my performance, I'm doomed and damned. But because of what He did for me, I know I have freedom in Jesus Christ. Freedom from the bondage of sin. That penalty was paid for me in full. Past, present, and future sin, all paid for. And I'm grateful for that. I hope you are grateful for that as well and realize that you and I are free from that penalty. Because once you recognize that, you realize why you do the good that you do is not because you're trying to get brownie points in heaven, because you aren't going to get any if that's why you're doing them. The reason why you do what you do is because you're grateful for what He did. That's it. That's it. Thank You. Because of that, I have freedom. We need to acknowledge the freedom giver like we should. And not be so selfish. And not misusing the freedom that we have as we sometimes do. Thank You, God. But I'm going to go about living my life the way I want to live. No. He paid such a huge price for us. But I shouldn't want to do that anymore. I should want to live the life that God wants me to live. A life that brings honor and glory and praise for freedom's sake. And I hope that's the desire of each and every one here as well. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for freedom. Bought with a hefty price in Jesus Christ. We also thank You as we gather here on this particular day, the day before July 4th. We thank You for the freedoms that were bought for us also as a country so that we could worship here freely, unhindered, for literally centuries. We're grateful for that as well. So God, on this day, thank You for freedom. And because we are free in Christ, help us to share that story with others and be willing ourselves to sacrifice so that others can be free. We give You thanks and praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.